This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Jed Babin, editor at Human Events and a former deputy undersecretary of defense. We've asked him to talk about the latest leak by a major news organization regarding U.S. national security and one of our critical policies in the war on terror. The New York Times has just reported on a classified order from then-Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, as well as President Bush, back in 2004, that allowed special operations forces to go cross-border into countries not necessarily directly linked to the war on terror if al-Qaeda or another viable target were able to be attacked. And Jed, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
First of all, this is kind of a pattern with some of the print media. The New York Times also are the ones that revealed the secret financial war on terror that the Bush administration strongly discouraged them to go with a few years ago. Then the Washington Post ran the story on allegedly secret prisons in Europe. What do you make of the publication of this latest story?
Well, and don't forget the New York Times also published the leak of the NSA terrorist surveillance program, the so-called warrantless wiretapping thing, which really had a bad effect on our national security. The leak did, not the program. This is amazing. I mean, it's a huge leak of a very important secret program here. And the thing that gets me, Greg, is that it's almost a commonplace. There's hardly anybody even covering the fact that these guys published this leak yet again. It's like the New York Times will publish any leak that damages the war effort. And these people, I mean, it's like Chicago and Chicago in the 1940s in World War II, Colonel McCormick and the Chicago Tribune were publishing secret information just to damage FDR. It hurts the war. It hurts people that are trying to fight the war. I mean, this may very well cost American lives.
Jed, you've worked at the Pentagon. You were there during the administration of the first President Bush, which, of course, included the Gulf War. When you hear a report like this, does it surprise you at all that the Pentagon approved such a program?
Not at all. Frankly, I was wondering, you know, if they were going to be doing something like this, and if not, why not? This is the kind of thing you have to do. It's a stateless enemy. They don't respect borders or treaties or anything else. So in order to fight them, you have to do something like this.
Does this actually also hurt our relations in some of these countries? And they may not be great relations anyway, because Syria is one of the countries that we've gone into recently on this type of operation. But the fact that we may have agreements with countries that aren't public, that we have this permission to do this, does that hurt those relationships?
It could be. You know, I think you hit something on the head, though. I mean, with places like Syria or Iran or whatever, you know, how much madder could they get at us? I don't really worry about it a whole heck of a lot. So basic bottom line is, if we're going into allied countries to have to do this, I suspect we have a lot of agreements that allow us to do it. I think that's probably the case in Pakistan, where we're operating relatively freely right now. And whenever this stuff is leaked, it makes it harder for those countries to continue to cooperate. You mentioned in the intro the SWIFT program, the Belgian consortium that was helping trace terrorist financing, and that was revealed by the New York Times, and that cooperation subsequently ended. So this is a real problem. These leaks damage national security. They make other countries change their behavior. I think the New York Times has a lot to be held accountable for.
What about those who are actually doing the leaking? How hard is it to figure out who's actually doing that inside the Pentagon or somewhere else?
Well, it may be very hard, and it's usually not someplace in the Pentagon. It's usually someplace in the CIA or in the State Department. Don't forget that it was Richard Armitage, not Scooter Libby, who leaked the Valerie Plame name connection to the CIA. So it's hard. You have to basically do what the Justice Department has so far been too cowardly to try, which is to subpoena the reporters, get them into a grand jury room and say, you know, you're either going to tell us who your source was or you're going to jail. And, you know, be able to enforce that. That's the kind of thing you have to do in extremis. But this is a very extreme case. There's probably a very small number, a cadre of very disloyal and frankly criminal people in the federal government who need to be found out and need to be punished for these leaks.
Jed, as we mentioned a couple times, you've got personal experience being inside the Pentagon, so you know a little bit about how the system works, of course. You mentioned a moment ago that leaking something like this could put the lives of some of our soldiers and Marines potentially in danger. Explain how that might be the case.
Well, sure. I mean, if this kind of a program is now revealed, and nations which are cooperating with us on it have revealed that involvement. Quite frankly, the safety of the people who are operating in these things are probably reduced. I mean, people know now Al-Qaeda knows, they may have known before, that this sort of operation is going on pretty well worldwide. They may be more ready for our people when they come in on a raid, or, you know, frankly, it may make it very hard to find, much harder to find the people we're hunting for.
Jed, we've got a little less than 2 minutes remaining in our conversation here, and you've got an interesting perspective. Not only do you have experience in the Pentagon, but you're now editor of a publication. So when those who are critical of the New York Times, such as you are, there are those who defend the Times saying, well, there's freedom of the press. They have the right to do this. What are your standards at Human Events in terms of going with something that may be classified and whether or not that should be published?
Well, I mean, first off, we at Human Events will never knowingly publish anything that's classified. Never, ever, ever. You know, the only certain circumstance when you should publish something that's classified is to reveal corruption inside the government and a violation of the law by the government. And even then, you have to temper that with the issue of damaging our national security. If you're damaging national security, you can't, absolutely can't put this sort of thing out. But this has been a pattern by the New York Times. It's been a pattern by, frankly, some Democratic senators. I remember a couple of years ago, I got a phone call from someone in the intelligence community saying that Richard Durbin and Jay Rockefeller and Ron Wyden had been referred on a criminal violation to the Justice Department for leaking the existence of a black satellite program. So this is something that is a very big problem. The Bush administration has abjectly failed in its duty to pursue and prosecute the leakers.
And Jed, unfortunately, our time is up. As always, sir, thank you for your time and your insight.
My pleasure.
Jed Babin is editor of Human Events. He's also a former deputy undersecretary of defense. This is Dateline Washington.